Wasn't part of my message, but I'll give you a brief kind of overview, I guess, in some of this. Nevertheless, there will be no gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he had humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea. So there's certain things there that we read that we go, oh, I don't know what that really necessarily means. But this is Isaiah speaking to a couple of the tribes of Judah. So these are in the northern territories north of the Sea of Galilee, and they are two of the tribes of Judah, and they are by the way of the sea. And by the way of the sea simply means that's the high traffic zone. That's like saying 95. You just take 95 and you get right up to Naphtali, right? So take 95 and you get right up there. So by way of the sea is a major, right, commerce route. And so those two territories were often taken over. Those two territories were always in a battle. They were always in a fight. And so even in the scriptures, it talks about in the days of Midian, right, in the days of Gideon and fights of the Midianites, and then they all, right, in the bloody battles and the things that are taking place. So this is what he's talking about. He's talking about those nations that are in the midst of war, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of rage, in the midst of always transferring leadership and administrations and things of that nature. And but he's saying there's hope coming, right? That's basically kind of how the prophecy or this, what he's speaking is. And so this is a passage that is often used for peace, and it indeed is our second candle that is being lit, a candle of peace. We won't break away from that. But the passage kind of deals a little bit, not a little bit, it deals specifically with the planes of the world, the dimension of the world, the physicality of the world, and all of its chaos, and how there is supernatural peace yet in the midst of all the chaos. A hope is on the horizon. A peace will come to you. Do you ever feel as if sometimes you have to fight for your peace? See, a lot of times I feel like I'm always at war to find peace. I feel like I'm always in a battle, lots of battles. Evil is always trying to steal my peace. And, you know, we say, put on the armor of God, right? And so I want you to know I put on the armor of God. But the armor, my armor, it's not polished. It's not pretty. It's not shiny. My armor is dented. It's been beat up. It's dirty. You know, it's kind of got the battle scars of war. It's kind of, it's got that blood smears on it. My armor is tattered. It's worn. It's utilized. Smudged with blood, sometimes my own. Why is it I can't get some peace and quiet around here? You ever say that? You ever think that? All I hear is the echo of my dad's voice in my head. Why can't I get some peace and quiet around here? It's just another way I kind of think I grew up into our parents, right? We grow up into our parents. We say, I'm never going to say that when I get all like, I'm never going to be like, and then sure enough, there you are. I can't understand a word they're singing. Can I get some peace? We often feel very stressed out at times. Maybe it's the holiday season that kind of elevates the stress, you know. But then we start talking about peace and hope and joy and love, and right? And sometimes it's the most stressful times, and that's when we probably need those messages the most. Our families can be overwhelming. Our jobs can be overwhelming. The kids, the spouses, the bills. Christmas is one of the busiest times of the year. You have a get this Christmas gift, and you have to wrap that Christmas gift, and then you have to go here to get that one and go there to get that one, and you have to write out 3,592 Christmas cards to everyone, plus everything that you normally do, you have to add all this other stuff on. So I looked up Oxford Dictionary, what Oxford Dictionary has to say about peace, and it says tranquility and mental calm. Peace. Tranquility and mental calm. Freedom from war. Peace. A treaty ending or stoppage of a war is treaty. Freedom from civil disorder is peace. It seems that the majority of peace happens when there's the end of conflict or the end of problems. Or whenever there's no problems or conflicts present, then I'm at peace. Then there's no anxiousness, I'm at peace. See, peace seems to be the absence of certain things. And with the absence of certain things, well, then I have a calm tranquility. With the absence of certain things, well, then I have a certain amount of peace. Is that a spiritual peace? So there lies the question, your first slide. Is peace the absence of something or the presence of something? Well, I get peace when all this other stuff is absent. Can I have or can you obtain peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of bills, in the midst of poor health, in the midst of, is that even possible? All this other stuff would just go away, I'd have some peace. If I didn't have all this clutter in my house, I'd have some peace. If I didn't have all these kind of kids, I'd have some peace. If I didn't have this spouse, I'd have some peace. If I didn't have this job, if I didn't have these bills, if I didn't have this illness, then I would have some peace. It's the absence of things that tranquility and serenity are hard to come by. Oftentimes you recognize that you're not at peace because you're tiresome all the time. You're tired, tossed and turned, sleepless hours, tormented, overactive mind that won't stop. Always thinking, always planning, always plotting, always doing math. Some observations that I took and wrote down about how some people just kind of lose their peace. They lose their grip. There you go. Ready? Try to keep up with me as best you can there, back there, Miss Lydia. People lose their peace when life seems uncontrollable. Lose our peace when we plan for one thing and something else happens. We get frustrated. We can even get angry. We didn't want life to be like this. We didn't want our life to be turn out like this. And life turns out to be out of control. There are certain things that are out of our control. You're fired. You're laid off. Death of a spouse, child, untimely death, accidents. It doesn't even have to be that dramatic. It doesn't even have to be that overwhelming. It can be just you go to the grocery store and you go to the checkout line and you go, oh, really? There's 16 people in front of me. It's going to take me longer to check out than it did the shop to get what I want. You lose your peace. I didn't plan for it that way. You know what? The light's green. Let's go. Come on. Oh, great. Now I'm going to have to sit through another red light. There goes my peace. People lose their grip. You know how I lose mine sometimes? Get that overactive mind? It'll be like at the end of a sermon. Stand at the back, shake hands. Great sermon, Pastor. Great sermon. High five, Pastor. That was great. They made me think, Pastor. That was awesome. I love that. Great sermon. Great. One person. I didn't like what you had to say today. I didn't like that at all. What do you think I'm thinking about? You can't, right? It's that thousand attaboys and the one, you messed up. We lose our grip. We lose our peace. Some things seem uncontrollable, out of our control. Here's another one, when people are unchangeable. People are stubborn. People are stubborn. Would you agree? People can be unchangeable at times. Why can't they be more like me? Why don't they vote like me? Why don't they dress like me? Why don't they think like me? Why don't they act like me? Why don't they eat like me? People are frustrating. Parents are frustrating. Kids are frustrating. Just about everything and everyone in the world. That's just people. And then you get people and then you get problems. There's your next one. When problems seem to come and be unexplainable. When problems come and they're unexplainable. This kind of coincides a little bit with uncontrollable. See, when I encounter problems of my own doing, consequences of my own doing, I kind of get it. That's explainable. I was speeding, I got a ticket, right? I was robbing a house, I got in jail, right? So some things, you know, my own fault. I climbed on the roof and didn't set the ladder right, and you fell off the ladder. You know, that's some things you get, right? But what about things that are not? The unexplainable. Cancer. Illness. Again, with an untimely death or an accident. Why does it happen to some and not to others? We lose our peace in some of those places. Peace when facing those certain circumstances is kind of difficult to come by. We move into that uncontrollable, unexplainable people and problems. And then there's pain. When pain is unbearable, is your next one. When pain is unbearable, we lose our peace. Add pain to the problem. Add pain to the unexplainable. Add pain to the uncontrollable. It's just a massive amount of stress and trauma. Have you ever been so emotionally distraught that it physically harms you? I mean, the simple thing is, you know, there's nothing physically wrong with you, but you're emotionally distraught, a heartbreak. Nothing physically happened to you whatsoever. And yet, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm crying, I'm depressed, I'm in despair, I'm burnt out. Pain, emotional trauma. But nothing physically has happened to you. But the pain is real and deep, and it affects the physical world. See, does the spiritual side of things affect the physical world? Can faith affect the physical life? Just like you know your emotions, there's nothing physically happened to you. But inside, my heart, my soul, my mind, I feel broken. And physically, heart rate, stress, tension, all of that shows itself. The spirituality and faith in your life show itself. See, here's where you can come to your last one of these, when we lose our grip. When the past is unforgiven. When the past is unforgiven. Or unresolved. We can lose our peace. Conflict still exists when people haven't forgiven each other. There are entire ministries dedicated to trying to restore and bring peace. Entire ministries just dedicated to ending conflict to bring peace in people's lives, in the life of a church, in the life of a corporation. Ending conflict, bringing resolution. See, are you a peacekeeper or are you a peacemaker? You can ask yourself, how do I live like that? Maybe you're the one that disturbs the peace. Oh, I didn't think that about me, Pastor, but maybe I am the one that disturbs the peace. Can I just get peace around here? Can I just get some peace in my own household? Well, peace from what? Peace from what? The uncontrollable? The unchangeable? The unexplainable? The unbearable? The unforgiveness, broken plans, broken people, problems, people disrupt my peace, all the pain. Can peace even be achieved? Is it possible in this life? Forget about world peace in the absence of conflict. Forget, that's not going to happen. That, just know that's not going to happen. Forget about the world. The world's at war. But how about peace in my own heart? How about some peace in my own soul? How about peace that I'm not aggravated when there's 16 people in front of me in line at the checkout counter? Or I'm stuck behind a red light again? Is peace something that you acquire? If it's the absence of other things, Is that the answer? I need to get rid of all the stuff that doesn't bring me peace, and then I will have peace. And then comes the unexplainable and the uncontrollable. So here's your next slide. It is peace. Peace is not achieved. Peace is received. Just soak on that for a while. And then is the absence of peace something you haven't received? It's not something you're trying to earn or achieve. Is it something you have received? See, that's an entirely different view from the world. Our scripture starts with people in gloom. They're walking in darkness. They're distressed. They're in despair. They're always at war. They're by the way of the sea. They're on this prominent territory. It's always busy. It's always under pressure. There's pain. There's wandering. There's hurt. Israel's under attack. Israel rises again and Israel falls again. They rise up again and they fall again. Then Isaiah, this wonderful prophet, he sees something. 700 years, 700 years ahead. He sees it. He leans into the future and he describes an event to offer an anticipation, to bring you peace. For unto us a child is born. See, Isaiah was no ordinary prophet. He was not a myth. He was a man that lived in Jerusalem at both a time of unimaginable glory, unimaginable prosperity, and also collapse, downfall, destruction. Isaiah saw kings rise and fall. He saw empires expand and devour other nations and just grow. He witnessed his own people stumble and fall over and over and over again to cry out to God, honor God, and then forget God. Cry out to God and honor God and then forget God. Over and over again. He saw tremendous faith only to be washed away by idolatry, greed, injustice, paganism. Isaiah is not a prophet that's crying in the wilderness. Make sure you have a good image of who Isaiah is. He's not a man stuck in a cave in sackcloth and ashes. He's not a man running from the patriarchy. He lives in the capital. He walks among the elite. He served and he spoke and he ate at the table of the kings, four different kings. Isaiah was a man that was familiar with political power. He also knew corruption. He also knew influence. He knew the leverage at the highest levels. He walked among all of them. He lived through political fear. He lived through foreign invasions and national decline. Yet in the storm of it all, even in the prosperity of it all, he spoke directly to kings. He spoke with an unmatched authority. He spoke boldly that God was not blind to corruption, nor was God blind in the face of evil. Isaiah dared to tell the truth to those that were the most powerful of his time. He dared to tell the people that their sin would bring judgment and their sin would bring consequences. And yet in the midst, he also dared to speak that all hope is not lost, that there is peace that's going to arise for you. Out of the ruin will come a new king. Out of the darkness, a light will shine. Out of the suffering will rise up a savior. The scriptures are very clear about the faults of humanity. The scriptures do not gloss over or hide the facts of the sinfulness of man. Isaiah tells it like it is. Hypocrisy, rebellion, greed, lust embedded in the flesh. But he refuses to leave us there. He talks to us about a coming king. Isaiah saw what no one else saw. And he enlightens us and he tells us. Judgment, Isaiah saw judgment that purifies. His own lips touched with the burning coal. Isaiah saw mercy that rescues. He saw God that sends people on mission. And he saw a Messiah that would change everything for everyone. Isaiah first points us to a child is born, then a servant who suffers, and ultimately a redeemer who would rule. All in a few short passages. That's a lot of prophecy. That's a lot spoken from a man who walks among the kings. See, Isaiah's ministry would span decades. His message would span eternity. And first he brings us to the crib. There's your first, another one, slide, crib. Isaiah brings us to the crib. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of all the unexplainable, in the midst of the war, in the midst of everything, child is born. In the humbled land, a child is born. In the midst of the problems, a child is born. In the midst of war and warriors dividing plunder, a child is born. While the yokes are heavy and burdensome, a child is born. While the oppressors are still whipping the backs of slaves, a child is born. Soldiers' bloody boots and bloody clothes and burning fires and smoke and ash everywhere that you look, child is born. The world is ugly. A child is born. People are not nice to each other. And a child is born. There's coming for you a Messiah. There's coming for you freedom and victory. There's coming for you hope and peace and joy and love. All of that that this world does not know of. God has not forgotten you. God has not let you go. For unto us a child is born. Listen, that means God chose to come to us. God himself, as a child, fully God, fully human. God chose to make a way, to bring peace, to introduce something that is far more than this world understands, a peace that is far more than Oxford Dictionary could ever define. God brings peace to you. He brings peace to your soul. Will you receive the peace, or is it something you're still trying to acquire? I do not want a piece of peace. I want the whole thing, right? I don't want a piece of peace. I need a lot of peace. I need a lot of peace because there's a lot of times when it seems like all the uncontrollable, unexplainable, stubborn people with all their problems, God, it's a lot of unpeace going on, right? There's a lot of problems. I don't want a piece of peace. I want the, see, this is, probably shouldn't share these things, but at times people lose their grip, right? So even recently my wife lost her peace, if I could say that. And really, just listen, just trying to get the batteries out of the thermostat, she will lose her peace. And I told her, woman, you need to calm down. Well, that went over well, you can imagine. I told her, listen, you need to find your peace. She found a piece of something and went whizzing by my head. That's what she did. I joke, of course, maybe. As we celebrate the birth of this child, listen, we didn't ask for him. You didn't earn him. certainly don't deserve them. God sent him in the fullness of time. God's idea. God's plan. We celebrate God's idea of establishing peace through a child. A reigning peace. A peace for right now. A shalom for right now. It's not the absence of confrontation, not the absence of pain, not the absence of problems, not the absence of conflict. It's a completeness of the soul. This work to bring peace, just the beginning in a baby. From a child we know it grows into a man. For unto us a child is born, and a son would be given. Here's your next one, cross. See, Isaiah not only saw the child. We'll read later during communion, he saw the cross. He saw crucifixion hundreds of years before they ever even invented crucifixion. No wonder they did. What, we don't even understand what you're talking about, Isaiah. It hasn't come to the fullness of its time yet. We're on this side of the cross, looking back, going, thank you, Isaiah. Thank you for preparing us to be able to see the peace and the hope and what God has done. Lying in a manger, a crib, a baby, he saw a son that would be given, a suffering servant. See, it's no coincidence that we're here today celebrating a baby, celebrating a crib, and celebrating communion. The same child that would bring you peace. To think in terms of Christmas and what that really means as that baby does grow up. What his arrival really means. For we know the child can't stay a child. The baby grows up and we learn that the place of peace is not somewhere, it's someone. And we learn that the place of peace is not something, it's someone. It's coming to grips with the understanding of who this Jesus is and what God has done for you. In this child, this Messiah, this man that we would call Jesus, the Yeshua, Emmanuel, God with us, Spirit becoming flesh. In him dwells the light. In him dwells our hope. In him lives all of eternity. In him is your miracle. In him is your healing. In him is your salvation. He is the Son of God. He is the peace that you have longed for. He's the answer that you seek. He's the wisdom and the knowledge that you desire. He came to destroy the destroyer. He came to overcome that which is overcoming you. In him, he came to kill death. To overcome the curse that was upon the world, that you might know peace to the very depths of your soul. Not the absence of conflict, something bigger than that. Not the absence of political power, it's something bigger than that. And listen, so much more personal. He came to offer you peace with God. Peace with yourself. Reconciliation unto God. And to all those that are around you, believer or not. To see the world as God would see the world. To love as Christ would love. Will you receive Christ today into your heart? Would you receive his peace? Because it's bigger than this world. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He is crowned with many crowns. He is Lord of all lords. He is King of all kings. Here's your next one. There'll be a crown. There is a crown. See, do you believe he's coming again? Do you believe he's coming to establish his reign again? But very different, right? The reign that he's going to establish will be a government. The reign in which he will establish will be over all the earth. He is building his church and he is uniting his people. He's drawing his family back unto himself. He will come again to establish his reign. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And the greatness of his government, there will be no end. You shall see the end of evil. You shall see. Won't that be amazing? When the darkness of this world starts closing in, can you remember the crib? Remember the cross. Remember the hope that he's coming again. That the deep-seated truth of your own soul is that it is secured in Christ. It's not secured anywhere else and through anyone else. God himself did this for his creation, you. When the frustrations of the season seem overwhelming, bring it to the wonderful counselor. When the devil starts spinning his web around you, call on the Almighty God. When death is approaching and you're so scared, lean on the everlasting arms of the Father that will gently bring you into all of eternity. When you feel uneasy and confused and you're questioning everything about life, rest in the arms of the Prince of Peace. He provides it all for you. If you walk with him, if you walk in him, rest in the arms of your Savior. There is great power available to you, and the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal, the passion, the love, the care of God will accomplish this. And why is he doing this? For you. That you might walk in peace among the chaos. That you might know the depths of peace in your soul while you're facing illness, while you're facing the unexplainable, the uncontrollable, and crazy people. You have something about you that is out of this world. The zeal of the Lord Almighty accomplishes this. The Lord Almighty, see, it's not a man plan. It's not a Pastor Stan plan. It's a God plan. God's plan. A God-sized plan. And a little baby. It grows up to be a son that is given to a king that is coming. There's only one solution to all the world's problems. That's Jesus. And he's coming again. So I invite you today to accept the work of Jesus Christ, to partake of communion. Take him into your heart. Take him as is his blood, his body, ingest it into you and say, I want to be in with Christ. I want to be in Christ. I want to be part of Christ. I want to know that eternity. I want to know his peace. Was Jesus at peace going to the cross? While the world whipped him and beat him and humiliated him, was Jesus at peace? A peace that surpasses all understanding. I want a piece of that peace. The whole thing, baby. Give me some of that. That's what we're hungry for. And listen, it's nothing you achieve. It's something you receive. You receive it and you walk in it. Let me pray with you as the elders come forward and we'll partake in communion. Father, thank you for your message. Thank you for Isaiah. Thank you that he was a different kind of prophet, a Daniel, a walks with the administrators, walks with kings, ate at the table of kings. Thank you, Father, that he would share with us the great hope. And Father, we're on this side of the cross. We're on this side of the birth. And Father, we're anticipating a great coming again. Work within us, Father. Enlighten our hearts. Give us wisdom and knowledge that we might be able to do that which you ask of us. For we know your zeal is accomplishing within us great and mighty things. We come before you with thanksgiving and praise and adoration. In the name of Jesus, amen. You do not have to be a member here to partake in communion with us. All I ask is that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And let this be that symbol that you say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And partake in communion with us. It was a very familiar story. He had taken bread, given thanks, broke it, give it to them and saying, take this and eat this, for this is my body, which would be broken for you. Gentlemen, if you would. And as you distribute, I will read, thank you, a continuing prophecy from Isaiah. Who would believe our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no majesty or beauty that would attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should even desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people would hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. And surely he took upon our pain, and he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned our own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Gentlemen, thank you. Thank you, sir. Blessings. Thank you, sir. Body of Christ, upon him was laid the iniquity of us all. Let us partake together. In a very similar manner, he had taken the cup and had given thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, take this and drink this, for this is a cup of my blood spilled out for the forgiveness of your sins, signifying and sealing an everlasting covenant between God and man. Gentlemen, if you would. Isaiah also continues. He was oppressed and afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation even protested? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit within his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life, and he will be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. And therefore I will give him a portion among the great. And he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and then made intercession for all of the transgressors. Blood of Christ spilled out for the forgiveness of your sins, may we partake together. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the prophet Isaiah, who spoke truth, who prophesied the day would come. And Father, we're on this side of the baby, we're on this side of the cross. The day has come. May we receive the peace, the joy, and the hope, and the fulfillment of all that you would have desired for us, for all of those that are in Christ. Give us the reassurance of our salvation, and give us the strength to endure until you come again. In the name of your Son, we would pray. Amen. Sir? Offering.
If the gentlemen could prepare themselves for this morning's offering. And it being the beginning of the month, I just wanted to remind everyone of the benevolence offering that's taken at the exits. And this is money that just goes to help people that need help within our church family and people that the deacons see that we can bless.